Extended blessings, everyone. If you can please kneel, let's do so. It's time to pray. Heavenly Father, thank you once again for blessing us with Sabbath day and for changing the showbread each week. Even in our private studies, you bless us with new understandings. Thank you for forgiving our sins and cleansing us from unrighteousness and blessing us with the latter rain so that we can go forth and do what you prophesied we will do. Thank you for the hedge you have about us to keep us safe as we do it, as well as bound all those that we love and everybody that's on our prayer list, especially the lost. Thank you for the hedge that you have around the workers and those that help the workers do the work. And thank you for the hedge that you have about the Sanballats that come around trying to stop the work and even ridicule the work and ridicule the workers. We thank you for the faith that you give us and a desire in our hearts to make you smile. We thank you for all these things to the best of our ability in the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. Got a little bit of the end of that song in the study. Yeah, I got it locked in. Thanks. Bye. No. I've been doing that lately, it seems, just letting the the last 5 seconds or 10 seconds of a song. I love these scripture songs. It's all I listen to when I'm in the car, unless something's on talk radio, but I get in the car in different times, and so. Now, here in the middle of nowhere, AM don't come in that good. So it's usually just my scripture CDs. Okay, number 15, if you're just joining us on the internet, on the radio, that is, or on the phone, go to remnantofgod.org, scroll down on the main page, you'll see a blue gift box. And in that blue gift box, is the are the studies here. So just click the box, scroll down to study number 10, and we're on question number 15. And the question is, what type of spirits will appear working miracles? And Revelation 16, verse 14 says, "For they are the spirits of devils working miracles, which go forth unto the kings of the earth." Wait, unto the, kings of the earth and of the whole world to gather them to battle of the great day of God Almighty. Well, let me get some kind of a, okay, there it goes. Screen problems here. All right, now what I'm about to share may be a bit hard for some to believe, but this has actually been fulfilled for a few decades now. There have been eyewitnesses and many reports of demonic apparitions in government places wherein most of the time such events are not made public because real Christians will, of course, expose it and cause an uproar. And so a lot of these, the elite, the higher-ups, and, you know, guys like Obama and his crowd, and, of course, the Bilderbergs and everybody out there, and the Rothschilds and the Vatican. Well, the Vatican actually holds satanic masses. Emmanuel Maligno exposed that years ago. But I mean, even the most basic dabbler in the occult knows better than to mess with authentic Christians. I mean, they know all about the good and the bad angels and how demons will manifest. There was a man that made a video years ago, before the internet, in fact, where he stated he saw a lot of things that would shock you regarding Satan manifesting and his demons writing letters on hundreds of typewriters for members of the United Nations to assure certain political events would come to fruition. This guy saw this with his own eyes, and he reported on it, and of course they killed him for it. But he is, I always forget the guy's name. I don't know, but he's on YouTube. You can look it up on YouTube. He does something about the rock and roll stuff. It's an old, if anybody knows his name, put it in the room and I'll mention it on the radio. So, yeah, thanks. I knew it was John. I just always forget his last name. John Todd. Thanks, Ryan and Ovi and Joe and Kevin and Marty. Everybody knows. I guess everybody saw that video. But he also did a video, I think a separate one, about how the, well, yeah, I think that was the main ones about the music industry, about the spirit and the devils, and they would do things for billionaires that own the record companies as well as the senators, and they have this little, they call it a new age tabernacle or a new age temple, but it's actually a, it's just an altar to Satan, and they actually will conjure things there, but our leaders today are mostly under the control of the devil. This we know. This is not something anybody has to investigate anymore. But some of these leaders are so evil and so insanely powerful and rich that they have an inside connection to such things. Their power and wealth have so blinded them that they actually think Satan will defeat Christ when he comes here. Because, you know, if you remember when in Revelation 19 when John fell in the presence of that angel, it was a good angel, of course, and the angel told him to knock it off, of, you know, worship God and God alone, because he said he was a fellow servant just like John is. But Satan wants to be worshipped, and this is what he goes for. Standing in the presence of a being, whether you think it's a ghost or whether you actually know it's a demon, is something mankind is not prepared for. And this is why Jesus said don't go there. When they say that Jesus is in the inner rooms or in the deserts and stuff like that in our day. And this makes, I mean, this demon is so overwhelmingly amazing to people that don't love Christ and that. And even people that do love Christ, if you're disobedient and you get in the presence of Satan, you're going to think that he can't be defeated in any way, shape, or form. You're just going to think, you know, he's all-powerful. And this is what these guys think, because he stands before them. Whether he's actually standing in himself or he's sending one of his daemons, as they call him, it doesn't matter. These things are supernatural. There's something mankind can't wrap their head around. And I mean, they could do things and scare the people, make them float in the middle of the air to scare them, or all sorts of strange stuff that happens. And so they will do whatever the enemy of souls demands of them, because they are in abject worship of him. Still, because he's a fallen angel, he can only go so far as our Heavenly Father allows. So don't worry, brothers and sisters. 1 Corinthians 10:13 applies here as well. No matter how powerful Satan appears to be to these powerful men, he is still very weak. He's just a demon, you know, in relation to the most gentle, obedient Christian. He can't, I mean, he literally runs in fear when we seek Jesus to assist us in casting him far from us. You know, get thee hence, Satan, in Jesus' name. And he doesn't just saunter off. He runs in fear because he knows he could be destroyed if he does not obey Christ. But as we look around today, we do see that, yes, there are evil spirits that have gone forth in visible and invisible form to kings and leaders of the world so as to prepare the wicked for the battle on the great day of God Almighty. After all, how can they convince the masses to kill the gentle, the obedient Christians unless they train them with all sorts of methods to indoctrinate the mind to hate us? I mean, everything from violent anti-Christian music to Hollywood movies to simply, or even a simple bully in a schoolyard that beats on children because they want to be Christians. I was one of those kids. I was bullied when I was a little guy. They also pass laws and structure society that not only mocks our Lord, but belittles his people in such a way that it's simply not cool in the eyes of most of the young people out there to even consider Christ as Lord. Then we have sports like boxing and bare-knuckle cage matches to get the people to use violence and to get used to the violence, and sometimes deadly forms of entertainment too. You know, and as the years go by, this causes the love of many to wax so cold that they see no wrong in hating and even killing their neighbor. I put a video on the site, I don't know, a couple, 3 days ago. I don't know if this is a new fad or what, but there was this car accident on the side of the road, of course, like where else, and people died in the car accident. And so what does this young girl do? She gets one of her friends to videotape her as she's dancing around the car before the cops get there. She's dancing. I don't know, maybe the cops were already there, but she's dancing with glee because there's dead people. That's today's world. And with the TV, which is on 24/7 in most homes out there, where in a single day you can witness literally dozens of violent murders, and some of them in the evening news reports. And to further indoctrinate the masses into thinking nothing of death, The demons convinced our leaders to allow for infanticide or abortion for girls that get pregnant who don't want to ruin their figures to lose their boyfriends. And to throw fuel on an already raging fire, the demons convinced the powers that be to legalize alcohol, prescription drugs, and even marijuana so as to allow those with mental issues to cross the fine line between self-control and insanity in performing mass murder suicides almost every week now in the USA. And have you noticed lately? The most recent mass suicide in Minnesota was given next to no airtime on the news because of the elections and the entertainment reasons. In fact, articles were published asking why the news ignored the killings. The reason this happened is the reason we no longer see the news pumped out weekly about child abductions and the murders that started to occur in the 1980s. I remember this. I mean, it was all over the news. Every time you turn around, you're worried about little kids getting, you know, taken away by molesters or killers. But it has become so frequent in the news now that they simply stopped reporting on this as well now with the mass killings. So, the mass killings have crossed that threshold just as the prophet Ezekiel predicted. Yes, I went on a little bit about this one, but can you tell? Well, this is a sensitive subject with me because I do so much research each and every day that I see this all more than most, and I must say that I'm sick of it. I'm not going to stop my research, of course, but I'm just sick of it. I mean, I know what Lot went, you know, with him being in the city, being vexed in his spirit. I mean, it's just insane out there. I mean, even though I took the TV out, we took the TV out of the house a while ago, and we don't do movies of any kind whatsoever, because even if they're G-rated, they're fiction. And, but, you know, I do my research for the news, and there's news reports that are just every single day. It's amazing. But at the same time, I realize I need to share what I see. And I must say, I don't like what I see. But then, we were all warned. It was prophesied to get this bad and even worse. So unless you have Christ as a constant companion in your heart, you may get sucked into this whirlpool of sin. We were talking about this last night about toe holds. You can't even have a little toe hold. Because if you do, Satan's going to have that toe hold turn into a big old problem where you can't even get around it. No way, shape, or form. Once he's got you a little bit. And he can hold on to that little toe hold, making you think that you're a completely strong Christian for the next 20, 30 years if the Lord tarries that long. And then when it comes time for the hour of temptation to hit the planet, and if you're disobedient in one area and you know it, because you're not judged by the sins you don't know about. You're only judged by the lights you have been given. So if you get to a point, you know, like that you haven't given up that one little sin, and that hour of temptation comes, you ain't going to handle it. You're going to end up getting the mark of the beast and dying with the rest of them. You want to be part of the Gideon band? I mean, you got to start today. Not yesterday. Well, actually, yesterday would have been better. But you can't start tomorrow. Because the longer you wait, the easier it is for the enemy of souls to have you and keep you. So, okay, question number 16. In the garden, Satan disguised himself in the form of what? Okay, Genesis 3, verse 1 says, "Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, ye shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" You know, this is what amazes me about some Christians today. They know the devil exists, but they can't believe he can appear before them in any form he pleases. If you've ever messed around with the stupid things like I did before I was a Christian, you know these things are real. With the occult and all that. So, I mean, you can see a ghost of a dog. It don't matter. It's just some strange things. I mean, so many Christians have been approached over the years by either people that are nothing more than demons in bodily form to apparitions that appear like their dead grandmother at the foot of their beds. And never once does the thought come to mind that they have been visited by one of Satan's demons because they just don't read their Bibles. Or if they do read them, they think the eyewitness accounts in the Word of God are nothing more than myth or fantasy. Worse yet, lately, many Christians have had near-death experiences, and in all cases wherein they thought they went to heaven, almost all of them describes an angel of light standing in front of them. This, of course, leads into the next question. Oh, and by the way, in regards to this serpent in the tree, I found this out, I don't know, even before I was a Sabbath-keeping Christian. And I had left the Roman Catholic Church, so this was in between the 80s and the 90s. They got this one serpent that And some of them are trying to say they're using this as evidence of evolution, saying that the serpent at one time walked. Because they found in the end part, like, you know how a serpent looks like if you take a serpent and you skin it and you take everything out, just get out a skeleton, it just looks like a giant backbone. That's all it looks like, a backbone with a head on it. Well, this serpent that they found, and I guess it's just a particular species, but there's quite a few of them on the planet. I mean, this is a big world. They found it, and I never forget looking at the picture in the magazine. This was years and years ago. They showed how up near the neck, where it would, if it would have had a neck, and near the tail, if it would have had a tail, in the vertebrae, there's nubs, like where legs used to be. And they say, this proves evolution. This snake used to be a lizard. No, it just confirms Genesis chapter 3. But they don't want to say that. Anyway, getting back to this angel of light thing, question number 17 says, Satan can transform himself into what? And 2 Corinthians 11:14 says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. You know, before I became a Christian, I met many people that stated they had a life after death experience. In that, like I was saying a minute ago, they found themselves in a tunnel of light. At the end of it, and they reached the tunnel and they saw a beautiful angel of light. They always seem to have the same thing. Or they see Jesus glowing, you know, of course, like he's loaded with light. And then after I became a Christian, I met even more people trying to convince me that this is what happens at death. In fact, this is what moved me to do the State of the Dead video years ago. That, and of course, the Council of Sister in Christ that showed me something I didn't know in regards to why they mess with this State of the Dead stuff. So, when people come up to you and tell you such things, just ask them if they ever read this verse. You know, the Angel of Light thing here. You will find that absolutely everyone you meet that had such an experience will admit they never knew such a verse existed in the Bible. And this is why Satan appears to them as an angel of light. If you haven't read the verse, he's going to go for it. If you had read the verse, he might appear as a dog or something, you know. I mean, actually, there's two reasons that he does this to them. Number one, he knows that they don't read the Bible. And number two, they aren't obedient Christians who at least try to study the Bible. And what I mean regarding number two is that in 1 Corinthians 10:13, we read that there hath no temptation taken you but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will with that temptation also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. An obedient Christian can claim that promise, not a disobedient Christian. Only obedient Christians can claim that. So anyway, a decade or so back, I discovered something about the human brain and how it works when it nears the threshold of death. As we know, in hypothermia, the body allows the limbs to freeze first. In other words, the blood stops flowing to the extremities of the body so as to keep the core, the body core, where the vital organs are, like the heart and the liver and the lungs and all that stuff, to keep it warm so as to prevent death. Well, when someone is near death, the last organ to go is usually the heart and then the brain. The way our Lord created us is amazing. And I hope I remember everything I saw on this many years ago, but I recall most of it. And this is like... I don't know when this happened. I know it was around the time that we started getting past Mach 1 or something like that in aircraft. And so they invented what's called a pressurized G-suit for pilots so that when they would have a lot of G-force on their body, they wouldn't pass out. Because they discovered when flying a craft that pulled a lot of G-forces upon the body during an upward or downward dive, the blood races towards the legs and causes the brain to lose the blood it desperately needs. Just sheer gravity, you know, or centrifugal force actually is what's doing it here. And what these pilots all experienced was their eyes would suddenly stop working. They'd go blind for a moment, and then they would go deaf as well. You see what's happening here? Just like with hypothermia, the body's going to shut down the extremities. Well, with the brain, it's going to shut down whatever's connected to it. And the only thing that's connected to it up there would be the eyeballs, the ears, and, of course, the tongue, and then and it runs down from the neck from down there. So right before this happened, they would experience what they called a tunnel vision as the eyes were slowly shutting down. Scientists discovered that the brain was merely shutting down everything it could to keep the blood it needed to survive. Well, when people have heart attacks or other injuries that causes the blood to flow drastically slow, they too experience the brain shutting down. So the eyes and the ears, while they don't really notice the ears as much, it maybe sound strange like you're inside of a can or something, but the eyes are going to be affected. But Satan stands by those when this happens, especially if he knows that they haven't read, you know, 2 Corinthians 11:14 about the angel of light. And he grants them a dream with all the bells and whistles he needs so as to use traumatic experiences like this to cultivate someone that can be an evangelist for him in this life after death theology. This is why you got all sorts of people out there standing up on TBN proclaiming that they saw Jesus and talked with him in the cool of the day one time after they had some traumatic car accident or, you know, near death. And some have even claimed to go to heaven. And then Jesus all of a sudden supposedly says to them while they're there, well, you know, you weren't supposed to be here yet. You're going to have to go return back to earth. You know, knowing the scriptures regarding the state of the dead as we do, we know for a fact it wasn't Jesus talking to them because, first of all, according to the Bible, no one on this side of Calvary, you know, the resurrection, of course, goes to heaven until Jesus returns. We know what happened to Enoch, Elijah, and Moses, but that was prior to Calvary. And we also know what happened when Jesus resurrected and all the others that came out of the graves too. And then secondly, this lie of Satan makes our God appear faulty in that he is making mistakes now wherein people should not have died. You know, it just, I mean, he doesn't stop with this lying about our God. And so he makes it look like God messed up. You know, oops, you shouldn't have died, so I need to fix this mistake by sending them back with certain instructions. He asks them to do something for them that is not found in Scripture once they return, too. You know, we've seen, you know, like some of the movies like Heaven Can Wait when I was a kid with, I can't remember the actors, I think it was Warren Beatty. He died and he had to go back and correct things or something. It's just ridiculous. And people believe this stuff because it's on the TV. All that is that we're seeing here is, of course, the end result of a demon standing at the end of a tunnel, what we thought was a tunnel if we have such an experience, waiting for a soul that has not read a Bible. And amazing how important it is to have truth that we find in the Word, isn't it? I mean, it's so we can avoid. It's just like some of the trials we go through on a daily basis. You know, if it wasn't for reading in the Scriptures and seeing what's going on in the past for people that were dealing with similar situations as us and see how God's people handled it. If we don't have that education, if we don't have an understanding of what's going on or what the devil can try to do, he's going to take advantage of that if we're not an obedient Christian, because 1 Corinthians 10:13 also applies here. Because if you're obedient, your father's going to say, well, okay, fine, that would definitely take that Christian off guard because they don't know about this and they don't know about that. That will make my child fall. No, you can't tempt them like that because my child is trying their best right now to do their best. They don't know about those things that you can do, Satan, so you can't mess with them there. So what happens is the temptation is eventually allowed, but it's so weakened down and there has to be a way of escape that if the child is obedient, there's not going to be an issue. You know, it's no wonder Hosea chapter 4, verse 6 says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge because thou hast rejected knowledge. I will also reject thee, that thou shalt be no priest to me. Seeing thou hast forgotten the law of thy God, I will also forget thy children. And so a lot of people out there in the world, it just a couple of verses would turn their entire lives around. See, our job is to find out which of those verses, well, let the Holy Spirit reveal to us what those verses are and then share it with them. It's part of the job of being a true Christian. Okay, I think I can do one more. And then number 18, it says, what can his ministers appear as? And in verse 15 of 2 Corinthians 11, verse 15, it says, there is no great thing, therefore it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. That's right. Satan can and does take hold of many men who stand behind pulpits. In fact, in today's world, the majority are in fact wolves in sheep's clothing. Even back when, you know, back then, when Paul saw how Satan could use men of God to move the people away from the truth. The more we learn about what the early church went through and see how crafty Satan works, as Daniel 8:25 predicts, the better we will be prepared to fight it. Satan moves within the churches to weaken and destroy them soul by soul. We are living in a time when calamities such as the world has never yet seen will prevail against many a weakened soul. Such fearful sights as these will cause many to clamor to the false churches in the hopes of salvation. I mean, take September 11th, for example. The church has exploded in growth for a few months after that. Yes, the people don't walk with Christ, the ones that don't walk with Christ will eventually grow complacent and figure, okay, everything's fine, okay. Yeah, I'm still getting my 9-to-5 job going on, everything's fine. Okay, good, it wasn't the end of the world, okay. Hey, you guys want to party? after a couple of 3 months, after being scared of what happened in 9-11, the fear subsides, and then, they get back to normal. But the calamities are going to increase, and the days are coming when even the government will mix church and state so as to keep the people under the guidance of Satan's ministers. I mean, Revelation 12:12 says, "Woe to the inhabitants of the earth and of the sea, for the devil is come down unto you, having great wrath, because he knoweth he hath but a short time." But as we peer into 1 Corinthians 10:13 again, we plainly see that God has set boundaries that Satan simply cannot pass. Our faith in our God and in his promises is the boundary he cannot cross. And if we build ourselves up in the faith by studying his word daily and pray without ceasing, we shall be safe under the wing of our God, just as he promised. And no matter how many people come against us, even if they claim to be like-minded brethren and they come against us, if we're obedient, we're going to be okay. Everything's fine, as many of us have seen recently. I mean, look what happened with Nehemiah back in the day. He was rebuilding the wall too, What do you think we're doing today? We are rebuilding the wall. What does the prophecy say? Repairs of the breach. Breached what? Wall? What wall? Okay, the wall that speaks of the law of God. We're rebuilding it. And sure enough, people are going to come around acting like they're somebody. They're going to send letters. They're going to do it. It's amazing how what Sanballat did to Nehemiah and how Nehemiah handled it is exactly what goes on today. Exactly. It's uncanny how and that makes the child of God have a sigh of relief knowing, wow, we are doing your work, Father. And wow, they aren't. It's amazing. And why do we have such faith that we shall be saved? It's because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. And behold, I come quickly. Hold that fast, which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Revelation 3, verses 10 and 11. I hope and pray you were blessed. I'll be back in a minute.